morning. It's 7:30 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Glynis Board in Morgantown. Senators debate everything from deer farming to golf courses.
Mr. President, I rage today on behalf of families who want their children to learn to hit a golf ball rather than a crack pipe.
That story coming up in just a minute. The Future Fund and cleaning up meth labs were just two of the issues the House Judiciary Committee dealt with yesterday. It was the final day for committees to approve bills without having to suspend the constitutional rule to read the bill three separate days. Lawmakers held lengthy meetings to get through what they consider to be important legislation, as Aaron Payne reports.
The committee was unable to get through all 19 items in the morning session, but were able to approve a constitutional amendment that would partner with Senate President Jeff Kessler's future fund bill. The resolution would put the specific parameters of the fund into West Virginia's constitution. The only changes made by the delegates included adding land reclamation as one of the things for which the fund can be used. The Senate joint resolution was unanimously approved by the committee and will now be considered by the full House. If it passes, the Senate would need to approve of the House changes. Lawmakers want the amendment put before voters in November's general election. Another bill considered by the committee was Senate Bill 204, relating to crime victims' compensation awards. The bill, as approved by the Senate, would not allow landlords whose property is damaged by meth labs to receive compensation. That concerned Delegate Patrick Lane, who felt it would punish innocent property owners. He proposed an amendment to reinstate compensation for landlords.
The problem that we have is that this isn't just slumlords. It's not business people who are absorbing the cost. And most insurance policies actually will not provide insurance coverage for criminal acts. This, unfortunately, is one of the very few areas of recourse that this particular constituent of mine, and I'm sure some constituents of yours, have to cleaning up and getting some help.
Unlike other crime victim compensations, the federal government does not assist with meth lab cleanups. The Senate was concerned that compensating property owners would drain the crime victims' compensation fund. Delegate Stephen Skinner pointed out that by not using the fund to reimburse landlords, it would encourage them to be careful when renting.
The whole point of this bill is to shift the responsibility back onto those folks to be vigilant and make sure the operations going on their property are legal. State of West Virginia and the taxpayers shouldn't be paying for this, and they can get private insurance for these kinds of costs.
The amendment to reimburse landlords failed, and the bill now goes to the House floor with the recommendation that it pass. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Aaron Payne in Charleston.
As we near the end of the regular legislative session, senators are dealing with a variety of issues. That menu yesterday ranged from closing a golf course to a state park to the Division of Natural Resources opposition to the deer farming industry. Ashton Mara has more.
Senators concurred with House amendments on five Senate bills and unanimously passed nine bills. Those included House Bill 4457, which Senator Bob Plymouth explains continues and sets rules for the Earn a Degree, Graduate Early program.
The EDGE program is a program that allows high school students to earn college credit in a career technical field for courses taken during high school.
After amending eight bills, two senators rose to speak about local issues they feel could have larger state impacts. Senator Bill Laird brought to the chamber's attention the possible closure of the Hawk's Nest Golf Course in Fayette County. 62% of the course's budget is absorbed by the state because of a lack of participation from the community. But Laird says the point of state parks is not to make a profit. The point is to provide recreational opportunities to the people of West Virginia while protecting its wildlife.
Mr. President, I rage today on behalf of a people who live in a region that once contributed greatly to the economy of this great state. Mr. President, I rage today on behalf of the communities who are struggling to rebuild themselves in the wake of declining populations and shrinking economic opportunities. Mr. President, I rage today on behalf of families who want their children to learn to hit a golf ball rather than a crack pipe. Mr. President and ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, thank you for allowing me to rage.
after Laird, Senator Mike Hall of Putnam County stood to address the struggles the city of Hurricane is facing in trying to build a water impoundment to use as a secondary emergency water source. The city currently has a pond that can provide a 25-day supply, but Hall says since 2010, they've been trying to build a second that could provide an additional 17 days worth of water. The plan is being blocked because the Department of Environmental Protection says it impacts a small stream and 0.3 acres of wetlands.
I understand wetlands and streams need to be mitigated, but the frustration that I personally feel for the city and for the citizens is the fact that this is a water project, and I can tell you that since what's happened recently in with the elk and so forth, there have been a lot of phone calls. People came to Hurricane for water during the crisis. If you look, there aren't any above ground tanks there. There isn't anything to interfere with this. They just can't. And because our county does well, and our per capita income is what it is, we apparently cannot get some relief that some of your counties might get.
A Senate committee meeting saw controversy as House Bill 4286 was discussed. The bill pulls the state deer farming program from the oversight of the Division of Natural Resources and puts it under the Department of Agriculture, which Senator Daniel Hall supports.
The DNR has been doing everything in their power in recent years to squash that entire industry. They will not promote it. They're trying to kill it, just being blunt. And so we don't want to do that. We shouldn't have to do what we're doing. But in order to promote an industry, we're trying to move it over to the Department of Ag, who has experience and knowledge in how to promote, regulate an industry, an agriculture industry, and do it the right way.
The state DNR has opposed the industry because they feel white-tailed deer are wild animals and should not be farmed. But Hall says the industry could diversify the economy of areas that are hurting, like southern West Virginia, and he's calling for DNR Director Frank Jezero's resignation. The DNR director, like many positions in state government, serves at the will and pleasure of the governor. Those appointees, however, are subject to the consent of the Senate. The Senate Confirmations Committee hears testimony and questions those new appointees, and today focused on 7 members of the State Ethics Commission.
And today's meeting, we have scheduled 7 of the members of the Ethics Commission Board, and the motivation behind that was we've had some issues with quorums. There was a piece of legislation that's out there that would change the board from 12 to 10. I think we have actually reduced that number down to 7. In order to help facilitate a quorum for the commission to meet.
The first appointee questioned by the committee, new Commissioner Betty Ireland, former Secretary of State. Also scheduled to appear before the committee was new Department of Health and Human Resources Secretary Karen Bowling. The secretary, however, was unable to appear and will be rescheduled. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
And you're listening to West Virginia Morning. It's 7:38. Cabell County school officials are excited about a new school they hope will set an example for schools around the state. Clark Davis reports on the development of an incubator school through a waiver attained with an Innovation Zone grant.
What's one way I can get your attention, Jason?
A new school will open in the fall of 2015 in Huntington that Cabell County School Board officials hope is the next step in education. It will be a consolidation of Peyton Elementary and Geneva Kinn Elementary in the east end of Huntington. They'll use the former Beverly Hills Middle School facility that was vacated in December for a brand new Huntington East Middle School. Cabell Superintendent William Smith is excited about the possibilities.
What you should see in a classroom like this is more student engagement, a high level of student engagement. You'll see teachers, of course, present lessons and that type of thing too, but you'll see more and more of the student grappling with the information and solving the problems.
So,
why is Smith excited? Smith says it's because it'll be the first expeditionary learning school in the state, known as EL for short. Students will learn about completing projects that will stretch across different subject areas and can sometimes take the entire school year. Smith visited a school in Chicago that he says is the example he wants to follow.
I had a chance to see presentations from students from Chicago in a very, very difficult part of town who have risen above all of that and have such poise and confidence and approach to learning. It just blows your socks off when you see it. This is what we want our students to look like.
There you go.
Smith says the different learning environment focuses on those interactions between students and teachers that create a learning atmosphere that is conducive to changing the outlook of life for students. The Cabell Board has made trips to EL schools in Chicago, Denver, and Asheville, North Carolina. Smith says the two schools have a large number of children growing up in poverty. He says they were looking for ways to help those kids and thought the best way to do that might be to try something unheard of in the state.
This we saw as an effective way of approaching that, where the students are getting and teachers are actually able to talk about their practice in order to improve. And so the school actually becomes alive and evolving rather than just a stagnant, we've trained teachers, this is what you do.
They describe the school as an incubator school because of the experimental learning environment. They hope that what they learn from the experiment leads to others around the state doing their own experiments and developing expeditionary learning environments of their own. Cabell County Schools will team with the Harless Center at Marshall University to study how educational concepts are working and what the next step might be to continue the growth that will take place in the classroom. Ryan McKenzie is the principal of Peyton Elementary. He'll be the new principal of the developed school. He says the work students do here will be beneficial to the community.
The kids will be engaged in learning that is real out in their communities, out in the real world. They'll be doing, you know, water analysis projects, for example, in your community and sending that report off to the mayor's office or the commission.
So remember, we
the board will depend on McKenzie and the teachers to relay and adjust how the learning environment is working. Michelle Goodson is a fourth grade teacher at Geneva Kent Elementary and has been assigned to the new school.
I am really excited to go to the EL school because it is exactly the way I teach. It's what I love about teaching, hands-on, project-based, and to extend that into expeditions is going to be even more exciting.
The school will work with a mentor school that's already been through the program that will help them adjust and determine what is and isn't working.
It is a better way to make them think and process what we're teaching them.
Amanda Ottaviano is a third grade teacher from Geneva Kent and will join Goodson at the incubator school.
I think that the new school will create culture, not only in our schools with our kids, but I think that it'll create kind of a different culture in the community with lots of parent involvement. And so hopefully that will impact everyone.
Renovation will begin soon on Beverly Hills Middle to turn it into the new incubator school. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Clark Davis in Huntington.
On Monday, two of the world's leading paleontologists, husband and wife Lonnie Thompson and Ellen Mosley Thompson, are giving a public lecture on climate change at the Clay Center in Charleston. The Thompsons are natives of West Virginia and were among the first scientists in the world to note the rapid retreat of the world's glaciers and what it might mean for Earth's climate. We featured the Thompsons in our first Inspiring West Virginia series. Here is that 2010 profile, produced by Gene Snediger.
We've drilled the highest place on Earth in the Himalayas, a place called Dasupu, 23,500 feet.
We live in tents that aren't heated. We work in a dome that's not heated. The only heat that we have throughout the day is the heat that's generated by the propane stove on which we cook our food. So the cold is with you all the time.
Imagine traveling to some of the world's most remote places. Inside the Arctic Circle, Antarctica, atop a volcano in Africa, the tallest mountains of South America, high up in the Himalayas of Tibet.
There's something about going into a village in the center of Tibet where there's never been a Westerner. You're the first contact that these people see, and first time they see people with blue eyes. I see it as an opportunity to see the world in many places as it was before it changed.
This is the processing tent.
But it is to such cold, remote places that Lonnie Thompson of Braxton County and Ellen Mosley Thompson of Kanawha County, both Marshall graduates, go on expeditions each year. in the tradition of the great pioneers and explorers. This husband and wife team aren't going to the ends of the earth just to say they've been there. They're world-renowned paleoclimatologists, people who study the history of the Earth's climate. And they're finding that history hidden in ice. For the last 35 years, Lonnie and Ellen have been working in climate science at the Byrd Polar Research Center at Ohio State University, where they are both distinguished professors. From there, they travel the world to retrieve ice cores from both polar regions and the tropics. In fact, Lonnie Thompson was the first person ever to drill an ice core in the tropics. In 1983, after 9 years of trying, Thompson and his team drilled an ice core on the Calcaya ice cap in the Andes Mountains of Peru, 19,000 feet above sea level.
Calcaya will always be the most important record that I ever recovered because it was such a challenge at a time when no one believed it could be done.
Lonnie's success at Calcaya paved the way for everything else that he and his team have done since then. 56 expeditions in 16 countries. In doing so, Lonnie Thompson has spent more time above 20,000 feet than anyone in history. And what became his life's work began in the mountains of West Virginia.
I grew up in a small farm outside of Gassaway in West Virginia. I would say that it was on the poor side of Gassaway, which is poor overall. But it was an excellent place to grow up. We spent a lot of time in the mountains, and I was in the Boy Scouts there. So we spent a lot of weekends up on Cheat Mountain and different parts of West Virginia. And I always think that those early days played a very important role in what I do today. Growing up in West Virginia, it kind of toughens you. You don't give in real easy when you come up to an obstacle.
Lonnie went to Marshall University, and in his senior year, he met physics major Ellen Mosley.
I grew up in Charleston, West Virginia. My interest in science started with science fairs, with science projects. It was interesting because neither of my parents were scientists.
Shortly after they graduated from Marshall, Lonnie Thompson and Ellen Mosley married and went to Ohio State to do graduate work. There they both got drawn into the new science of ice core paleoclimatology. Ellen became one of the first women ever to lead a polar expedition, and she continues to lead them to this day. Lonnie and Ellen's office walls are lined with prestigious science awards from all over the world. But West Virginia is never far from their thoughts. If they ever slow down, they plan to spend more time in their home state.
We've talked about building a small place, a cabin, where we can write. Maybe go around the state giving lectures at high schools, trying to encourage students to think about further education. One of the nice things about being from West Virginia is that you can go home again.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jean Snediger.
In 2012, Lonnie Thompson underwent a heart transplant. Last year, with his new heart, he led an expedition more than 2,000 feet up an ice cap in the Himalayas, his 58th so far. You can hear the Thompson's lecture on Monday, March 10th at 6 in the evening at the Clay Center in Charleston. The lecture is free, but tickets for reserved seating can be obtained by calling the Clay Center. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting's news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ben Aduccio. Our news director is Beth Voorhees. Our director this morning is Bob Powell. And from Morgantown, I'm Glenna Sport. Good morning.